Well, today we end our the series that we've been in for several weeks. We took a pause last week for All Saints Sunday, a series titled I Will, and what it means to be a Christian with an I Will attitude is what we've been looking at. And it's all I talked about the series of moves in our life, from when we become first a believer and when God begins to kind of work in us. And there are these moves or transitions as we go from one place to another, leading us to a place of deeper commitment is the hope, and to serving Jesus and His church. And in this series, the author presents, takes us moving from an I want attitude, where we look at our likes and dislikes, and to an I am attitude, I am a child of God, to an I will attitude, I will be someone who will go. And so we looked at the last few weeks saying, I will worship, taking time for worship as we are today. I will grow together, finding our place in small groups amongst other people, studying His Word. I will serve. I will serve not only this church, but in the community. I will go. I will go beyond these walls. I will give. I will give generously. We can find complete joy in service through the church while becoming a fully functional member of the body of Christ. And as we looked at these, we saw that it took a change from an inward focus to an outward focus, church member. And this is not always easy, and we tend to sometimes fall back and forth in and out of those places as we it just happens because it is our nature. And so I think it's important that we have an ongoing self-check of holding each other accountable and making sure that our focus is where it needs to be, and most importantly, keeping our focus on the mission of the church and the greater mission of bringing Christ to others. So the focus of this series, even though it's been on this idea of outward expression in thinking, it is not a list of to-dos, a check-off list that we can show God to when we get to heaven and say, here's what I did. I went to church every week except when I was sick. It's actually quite the contrary. It is saying, I will. And it begins with an inward examination of oneself. You know, it's kind of like you've heard the scenario, if you're on an airplane and it's going to crash, who puts the mask on first? The oxygen mask. Well, if it's going to crash, it wouldn't do any good, right? But anyway, right? Healthy adults put it on first so they can care for themselves and then take care of children or elderly. In Wesleyan tradition, John Wesley began a process of what he called the questions of examination, and he would ask each of his clergy, and in the beginning it was those in the small groups, bands that he had formed, as they would each meet each week. He would ask them very specific questions about their life and how they were doing. And the summary of all of them, which is still asked today in the United Methodist Church, and I still get asked the question when I meet with my district superintendent every year, is how is it with your soul? The Apostle Paul reminds us that our soul is important in our call to serve by the gifts we are given, by His grace, as we heard in the first chapter 6, this gift of grace. And so it is important. The spirit of our Christian service matters muchly. So how is it with our souls, and how is it in our serving? One author writes that true religion is a matter of the heart of a person. It is both intelligible truth, the Word of God, and living power. As Christ dwells in the hearts of the faithful, He takes possession of their spiritual nature, which then begins to govern one's life, affecting their social relations. This energy of the Spirit of the Christian comes from, of course, the divine Spirit of God living in us. And so by caring for our souls and making sure we stay in love with Jesus and His church, the I Will church member says, I will stay in it for the long haul. Now the author presents another phrase, and I chose not to put it up there for that, but it says basically, I will not be a church dropout. Now, last week, if you recall, I'll backtrack a little bit. We remembered the saints and who have gone before us, and we as well remember the living saints who are among us. And next week, we will hear from a few of our saints who will come up here to share in a time of thanksgiving in message. But we can always and often, or often, look to those saints among us who have lived a long and faithful life and learn much as members of the body of Christ. And I would agree, I would think that if you are a saint among us, and I'll let you decide that, that you might agree with this phrase that faith is not a sprint. Religion is not a short race. It's a marathon. It's a lifelong commitment to bring light to the world each day and to be filled with the Spirit of God by serving His church. So what do I mean by a church dropout? Now, I don't mean by someone who just leaves the church because of life transitions. Those things happen. We left the church of Freeland, and so I'm here with you today. So sometimes leaving the church is an okay thing, and it's a good thing. But I'm talking about someone who becomes a statistic that just drops out of the church or faith altogether. And usually when we look at that, there is a reason, and many of times it is because of disappointment or disillusionment in the church. It may be the hurt because of people. It may be someone who hurt them or did not live up to their expectations. It may be in the area of beliefs. Maybe the church has gone wayward and don't align with our biblical beliefs. It may be an area of structure, whether it be in committee meetings, in the denomination. Often people will leave the church for those reasons. But Paul points out in this text two very even less obvious reasons, I think. And they are this: doing too little, which we coined the phrase the atrophy factor, or doing too much, which would be the burnout syndrome. So atrophy is when our organs and tissues waste away because we don't use them anymore. We just stop and they don't become active and they become flimsy. I remember a time after leaving the denomination for a while, after Jenny and I got married and became a part of another church, and I just remember this feeling that like I was unimportant, and it wasn't even about being important, but I wasn't doing anything. I just felt laxed in my serving, and I was missing that. And I've always felt that calling to do something in the church, and I found myself kind of, you know, atrophying in a way, spiritually, in my faith. And that can happen when we are lacking in doing little or doing nothing, when our spiritual muscles become weak. We sometimes, in these areas, begin to focus on our own problems as well. The other end of the spectrum is the burnout idea, which comes from the phrase burning a candle at both ends. You're probably familiar with that. It's when we work ourselves to a point of exhaustion by doing too much. We might call them a yes person. They say yes to everything. It's just because they're so gracious. And I remember a time in the church where I felt this way as well, overwhelmed, because I just took on too much and wasn't evaluating what I was saying yes to and those types of things. Being effective for God and the church and the mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ means paying attention to how effective we are in serving. Paying attention to the spirit of our Christian service so we don't atrophy or get burned out and become a statistic. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians that you are the body. We are the body of Christ. And each one of us is to have a positive effect on the whole, the greater. So Paul raises these two problems in the church and a warning to believers that those who have chosen to follow him. And they come to us in verse 11, and it basically says this: never be lazy. I use that translation because I like that word. I mean, that's what it means, but the other versions don't always say that. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. And so we have this idea of attitude around our serving. And the word lazy here in the Greek means to be drowsy or sluggish, apathetic. And when we look at this, we learn three things that are important for our Christian life. Is one, that our life should never be aimless nor selfish. There always should be a purpose, because our life is not without purpose, as God gives us that purpose. The sole occupation of the Christian, of which all our efforts come from, is to do the will of the Master and to please Him. Jesus Himself said, "It is mine to do the will of Him, the one who sent me, to finish His work." The Christian life is one of purpose. It is one of focus of self-giving. This energy then applied to the work we are called to brings a spirit of enthusiasm, as Paul tells us, to our work. So it should not be aimless or selfishless. It has purpose. Number two, our life should be consciously and deliberately. Meaning our service should be rendered to Jesus our Lord. Everything we do for His glory, not for ours. When Jesus was asked by the Pharisee what the greater commandment was, love your God and love neighbor as yourself, He followed up with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Interesting. And as the three people came to the Good Samaritan, or the first two, they denied giving mercy to the one who was in need. But it was the Samaritan who helped the one in need. And as the Pharisee asked Jesus, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Or as Jesus asked him that, which do you think of these three showed mercy? The expert of the law said it was the one who had mercy on him, the Samaritan. And so here are the words of Jesus. He leaves him with, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. We are to be consciously aware of the needs of around us and deliberately finding ways of serving others, serving the church, while giving Him glory. Number three, our service rendered to Christ should be an acknowledgement of the unconditional love by His service to us. Jesus was a servant of God for us. By taking the form of a servant, the perfect was perfected, and His sacrificial death, a life He gave. This is where we find the power to obey and to serve, to express our gratitude of love in return. No devotion can go unqualified. No effort is too strenuous for us, and no sacrifice is too great. A life without purpose, a conscious, deliberate effort to serve, and by it we acknowledge the gracious gift that God has given us in grace. So can we lose our zeal and our passion and love for the community and the body of Christ? Sure. Can we be tempted to walk away or drop out from lack of activity? Sure. Can this affect more than us and the life of the church? Most definitely. Hebrews 6:11, the writer tells us that his great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as your life lasts. And make certain that what you do, you hope for, will come true. And then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promise, because of your faith and endurance. So in contrast to doing little is the idea of doing too much, which we can do as well. And I go to the Message translation for this portion of it, and it reads this way, do not burn out. Verse 11, keep yourselves fueled and inflamed and be alert servants of the Master. For some, overcommitment is a problem. The author of the series calls them comet Christians. Maybe you've seen them. They come into the church and they do everything and they're immersed into church life. They do so many things. Their family and their church suffers, and then all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. Maybe you've experienced that in the history of life in the church. Those people generally are quick to cool down as to warm up. Relate this to the stage of a rocket that's going up into outer space, is it has a burnout phase, And it is where that last push of fuel comes, or propellant, and it powers the rocket into flight before it leaves the atmosphere. But the burnout phase is what we focus on here just for this moment. Burnout, by definition, is defined as a fire that is totally destructive of something, in this case, of self, due to fatigue, frustration, prolonged stress, overwork. To burn out means to lose one's spiritual fervor. Fervor, the word here, it's kind of an interesting word, but it means to create energy, to apply heat to your spiritual life. It means to be taken over by the power of the Spirit of God within man. Keeping our zeal for Christian service means applying that divine energy and, as Paul told Timothy, fanning the flame of the spiritual gifts that God has given you. By always applying heat, not too little, not too much. This is how we maintain the power to love, to serve, to care for each other with a good attitude. The lack of feeding our souls can lead to a dehydrated spiritual life, to atrophy, or the opposite, to burnout. So an interesting other metaphor in this text that has to do with this word fervor gives us this idea of water, of boiling water, bringing heat or boiling water. And if you put water on a stove and it has no lid on it, the water comes to a boil, and what happens to the water? Evaporates. The steam goes away. In this case, it becomes of no use. It just dissipates and goes away. But if you take that same water and you put it into a boiler of a steam engine and you let the furnace be heated, the fervor becomes power. The expansion of the steam causes motion. The machinery begins to act together, and the useful result occurs. So it is with the church as well. So it is when we say, I will stay in it for the long haul. So it is when one's life is powered by the Holy Spirit. The warmth of our devotion, the worship, the desire to grow together with others in faith, to give without reluctance, to pray because of Christ in us, turns into service for God. And when applied, it translates into caring for others, both inside and outside the body of Christ. The challenge then is to keep the flame, the spirit of serving lit inside. And we can only do this because we first care for ourselves. So the question is, how is it with your soul? How is your fire within? Do you find complete joy in your service through the church? Do you feel you're a fully functional member of the body of Christ? Do you want that to change if it needs to? The key is finding balance in an effective Christian service. And Paul tells us that in verses 12 and 13, how to do that. He says, rejoice in confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. And be ready when God's people are in need to help them. And always be eager to practice hospitality. So I thought I'd give you some practical tips for joyful and effective Christian service. And we see we have a little chart up there. Lazy Christian, comic Christian. Lazy Christian is really kind of an oxymoron, I guess, if you want to say, because it's probably really hard to be that way if you're truly a believer in Christ. But we can fall into those places. So how do we find balance in effective Christian service? So I gave you six of those, and if you want to write them down, you can. But first is discover your spiritual gifts. Where is God calling you? How has He called you? How are you made up? What about you? Is it a gift of teaching? Is it a gift of mercy, of caring? And we're going to be doing some things to help us discern that after the first of the year. Number two, what is your passion? What makes you burn? What makes you angry in a good way? What do you see in the world that hurts you and others? Number three, feed your spirit. We need to worship. We need to be together to feed our spirit. Number four, be alert and be ready. Be alert and be ready. Number five, be patient. Oh boy, that's a big one, isn't it? Who needs patience? Anybody? Yeah, okay. Be patient. Number six, be faithful to pray. You know, for some, this is a beginning journey. Maybe today is a first-time commitment to want to be part of the Christian faith, to know Christ. For others, we've been on this journey for some time, and we might find ourselves in the middle somewhere. And for others, I guess maybe the phrase just goes, you're a little farther down the road, right? And we are, in some ways. We learn from each other what it means to be a joy-filled church member in the body of Christ. And it begins with Christ who dwells in us. So I ask you this, will you make a commitment with me today? Would you bring up this next slide? Will you say this with me? And if you will, if you won't, that's okay. Nobody's going to look at you. But let's say this together. I will worship with others, grow together with others, serve with joy, and go and invest in others. And the second slide. I will stay in it for the long haul. And most importantly, I will stay in love with Jesus and His church. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Hunter. Let us give God the glory due His name as we extend our hearts and our generosity.